Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our Lord, our God. Amen. In my 37 years of pastoral ministry, there have been times that I've been asked this: what is the most important dynamic for an effective pastoral ministry? And the answer usually comes pretty quickly, and it's usually the same answer. Because of all the things a pastor does, one element is essential. A pastor must love their people. Love is the lens a pastor looks through to do effective ministry. We use the word love relationship when things are going well between a congregation and the pastor. We comment, it's kind of like a good marriage. When someone asks me about ministry here at St. Paul, my comment is always the same: we are still having a good time. Does this mean that there's no disappointments or no sadness, no heartache, no headaches? Of course not. Isn't disappointment and sadness and heartache the price we gladly pay because of the object of our love is worth it? I'm reminded of this in reading our gospel lesson. John's gospel is a long discourse in which Jesus is identifying himself to the crowd. The verse just prior to today's text reads, "Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him." So the question, why didn't he stop there? He knows they're listening, and that had not always been the case. Other times, speaking to the crowd, he was frustrated. Remember, he said even, "He who has ears, let them hear." But today's text, they appear to be hanging on every word. So, doesn't this seem like a good time for him to stop? And he could have. He could have given them, going around the circle and give them all a nice hug and sent them home. But he didn't. Why would a pastor who feels the people are happy and content challenge the members to look deeper what it means to follow Jesus, deeper in their calling to be the church? If you read the end of chapter 8, the people are picking up rocks to throw at him. So why didn't Jesus stop while he was ahead? Why doesn't a pastor stop when it seems that the congregation is content? The answer is love. Not a romantic love that is blind to the obstacles that stand in the way of a deep, meaningful relationship. Rather, it is a love that sees beyond the obstacles to all the possibilities, all the potential for growth that that relationship holds. Jesus told the crowd, "If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples. And then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And the people respond, "Hey, we're children of Abraham," as though being a descendant of Abraham was enough. We can characterize the people's response like this: our father Abraham was God's child, so we, Abraham's descendants, are God's grandchildren. Therefore, we are saved by the covenant between God and Abraham. We can characterize Jesus' response by saying, "God has many children, but sorry, God does have no grandchildren." To put Jesus' answer helps us understand the impact of his words on his audience. Jesus was insisting that nobody can become a follower second-handed, no relative once removed. Everyone must make his or her decision about Christ. We cannot inherit the Christian faith. We can't reference saying, "Oh, my family have all been baptized at St. Paul." Inheritance status doesn't work. As we baptized little Isaiah this morning, we welcome him into the family of God. But that is only the beginning for him. Parents and sponsors and congregation, we promise to raise him in the church right now, not someday up the road, right now. so that we're happy to see little Noah crawl under the altar and all the other little experiences that we had with our young children. What happens at baptism cannot end there. We live daily in that covenant. Daily, we have to be responding to God's claim. You are mine. If we choose to ignore it, the gift of grace, that gift of grace that's offered in baptism, it won't mean anything anymore. And that's why there's empty spaces in the sanctuary, not just for our church, but the churches. As we participate in the life of the church, we know Christ more deeply, more personally. Someone once said this, "If religion does not begin with the individual, it never begins. But if it ends with the individual, it ends." We need the church to help us grow, develop, mature in our faith. When Jesus first called his disciples, he said, "Come follow me." It was not a demand for some declaration of faith on their part, but an invitation to come and learn. After they had been with him to hear and observe and discover with him, they were asked to declare, "Who do people say that I am?" On this Reformation Sunday, we recall the work of Martin Luther and other reformers. One way to describe the Reformation, it taught people that they were children of God, not grandchildren. Because, you know, at that time of Luther's day, most people thought of the relationship to God as secondhand, handed through the church with the priest as a go-between for all their spiritual needs. Two of Luther's teachings we still lift up as marks of the church: justification by faith and the priesthood of all believers. Justification by faith means that our salvation is not something we earn, but something God offers, and we accept by faith with no other mediator than Jesus Christ. Priesthood of all believers means that we are all workers in his kingdom. We are his church. That was radical thinking back in the Middle Ages, and that's why Luther got in so much trouble. The Reformation helped people understand that they had direct access to God. This is a privilege of every child of God. As we celebrate the Reformation, we are challenged to consider that reforming, reshaping the lives of believers is an ongoing process. That God's Spirit is at work in our lives daily. And no one can boast that they have arrived fully in the measure of their faith. Because that will not happen until we are face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ at the end of our life. Every pastor faces the dilemma. A long pastorate has many advantages, both for the pastor and for the congregation. We all love stability. We all love stability in our lives. But what happens when stability becomes stagnant? When people no longer feel challenged, or the challenge that's presented to them is for someone else because they're quite comfortable where they're at? That faith is not a walk. It's a way station. A place to wait until something new comes along to inspire us. Something new come along and we'll kind of come aboard. Sometimes that means a new pastor. Why does this happen? I believe the key is our understanding of what it means to be a child of God. It is growing into servanthood, not to be served, but to serve, and constantly moving more and more like Jesus. Like Jesus, worship is never an option. Like Jesus, prayer is a constant in life. Like Jesus, we look for ways to serve others. Like Jesus, we are obedient to God, stepping forward to do what he calls us to do. Like Jesus, we feel a oneness with God who empowers us and giving us assurance in the midst of change. When pastors and congregations work together to live out their call as children of God, nothing's impossible. I walked into David Chipman's and Dusty Robbins' Sunday school classroom this week to put something in their classroom, and they've got this on the wall. All missions are possible with God. Nothing is impossible because pastor and congregation are constantly open to God's Spirit, reforming, reshaping, guiding our lives together for his purpose. What an exciting adventure to live as children of God. Amen.